Rabbi Matisyo Lawrence, Yudalit Sivan, 8th of June, treating food respectfully.
Some time ago, firstly, good morning. It's nice to be back here after quite a long break. some time ago, I went to a simcha, and I saw something which I hadn't ever seen before. Maybe some of you have seen it many times. But the soup for the first course was served in a bowl made out of bread, in the shape of bread. And then I went to another simcha some other time, and the soup was served in a regular bowl, but the soup was covered in a kind of a bread-like, I think, dough of some kind, in order to keep it hot when they put out the soup. So they put out the soup, it takes a while to put it out, and in order to make sure the food keeps hot, so it's covered in a kind of a bread which is stretched over the bowl. So as soon as I saw it, it occurred to me that, a little bit strange, I hadn't seen it before, I'm not too up on the modern catering or culinary activities, but it seems to be quite prevalent nowadays in catering in the wider world, in the Jewish world, and I was wondering whether this is actually permissible or not, according to halacha. And we'll investigate the makoros to see whether this is allowed or not. So the Rambam says in Perek Vov and Hilchas Melochim, halachas of kings and halachas of waging war against other nations. The Rambam brings the halacha, what we call nowadays Bal Tashchis. So the Rambam says, Kolam Shaber Kedim v'Kireya begodim v'Hoyris Binyan. Anybody who destroys utensils or tears up garments or destroys a building, raises a building to the ground, u'ma'abed ma'choloyis derech hashchoso, or it destroys food, b'derech hashchoso, in a destructive way, oiver b'loy sashchis. He's oiver on the love in the Torah of loy sashchis. The Torah says in Parshas Shoftim, Devarim Chof, Pasuk Tes, that when a Klal Yisrael wage war against a nation, they're not allowed to destroy the trees, loy sashchis. And the Rambam says that included in the Isra of Lo Sashchis is this halacha that you're not allowed to destroy kelim and begodim and binyonim derech hashchosa. The Rambam says, the wording of the Rambam, the lashon of the Rambam is oiver b'lo sashchis. You are oiver this Isra of Lo Sashchis. But he says the punishment for it is makas mardus, which is midivreihem, midirabonon. So there's a discussion in the Mefarshim, are you oiver midaraisa or are you oiver midarabonon, etc., which is not a point we're going to go into today. Ayin shom in the Noisei Kelim, in the Mefarshim on the Rambam. So, the Rambam here is talking about destroying food, derech hashchosa, destroying anything for that matter, derech hashchosa. I take something and I willfully destroy it. That's what we call Baal Tashchis. Now Chazal, it appears, from the Poiskim, added an extra issa onto what we call Baal Tashchis, and this is the issa of Hefsed Oichlim. And there seems to be a second issa called Bizoy Oichlim. Hefsed Oichlim means causing food to go to waste, Lashon Hefsed, and Bizoy Oichlim means treating food in a disrespectful way. And one of the makoros for this is a Gemara in Tanis. We see the Gemara mentions Ta'anis Daf Chof Omid Beis. Ma'achal Odom Ein Machidim LeBehema. Now this comes up in the context of the story there in the Gemara, which again, we don't have so much time to go through the whole story. The Gemara says, Ma'achal Odom Ein Machidim LeBehema. Food which is meant to be for human consumption is one is not allowed to feed that to a behemoth, to an animal. Now Rashi there mentions two different reasons. Rashi says because of bizui oichin. Why? And here's a very important word which are quoted in all the poskim. Rashi says, "The mechze kaboyet batoiva shehishbiya hakadosh baruch hu ba'olam," because it looks like the person is rejecting the goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought b'shefa into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings tremendous amounts of goodness into the world. He brings food which is suitable for human beings. And if you take that food and you give it to a behema, then that's showing, well, I don't really appreciate too much the shefa, bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world. So, yeah, it's meant for me, but I'll give it to a behema. You're downgrading it to the level of behema. That's the first reason that Rashi brings over there of bizui oichlin. Because it looks like you are rejecting the toiva, the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi brings a second reason over there, which is that the Torah, chasa ha-Torah al-mamoydim shal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, took pity on the money of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has pity on that. He doesn't want us to waste our money. He doesn't want us to use up our money or our possessions for things that they're not meant to be used for. And that's the second reason the Rashi brings over there, that the reason why one shouldn't feed food which is meant for human beings and give it to a behemoth, the reason is because the Torah takes pity on the Mammon Shel Yisrael. Now the first reason is brought down in the Rambam and other poskim. The Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, when he's discussing this Isra of Baal Tashchis, he says, V'chein ein mafsidim shar oichlin u'mashkim derech bizoy u'be'ito. A person must not destroy other foods and drinks in a manner of bizoy, of disgrace, u'be'ito, and rejection. So, we have this halacha which is brought. One is not allowed A, to destroy food in a destructive way, and that could be the Issa d'Oraisa of Baal Tashchis. But there's also this other Issa of just ruining food, wasting food in a manner of bizoy, a manner of disgrace or rejection of the Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. So now, if you split into two dinim, the Tzvei dinim over here, you have the Hefsed Oichlin aspect of it, which means wasting food. Now, one can waste food in a manner that's not disgraceful. In other words, if you just didn't use the food, if you just left it aside, you didn't do anything bad to it as such, that would be a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shefa, bracha, that he brought upon the world. But there's also bizoy oichlin. There's doing something disparaging, something not nice to food, chucking food, throwing it somewhere, stamping on it, walking over it, seeing it on the floor, not picking it up. All those are potential cases which could come into this halacha. Now, because again, relatively speaking, we have a short amount of time, we can't cover everything. We'll cover the yesodis, maybe perhaps a second shiur at some time, we'll include some of the other cases. So I don't propose to answer all the questions today that might be related to this inyan, maybe another time. But we'll learn at least the basics and the kolim today. So the general rule that we have from here is that it is forbidden to waste food in a destructive way, and to treat food in a disparaging, despicable way. Now there are various heterim, which one goes through the poiskim, one puts it all together, you see there's various different heterim. So for example, the tzorech refuah. For the tzorech refuah, for healing a person, so one is allowed to use food. One is allowed to take food and use it. So for example, for those people who are a bit more up on things of alternative medical treatments, people who don't like to use all the different types of creams and ointments that are available from the chemist, so there are various different, more natural ways of healing burns, for example. Someone can take, for example, different types of fruits or vegetables and place them on burns, or, for example, if someone has received sunburn, apparently they say that cucumbers are good for it. So again, I don't want to give any medical or homeopathic advice in the shiur. That's not the purpose of the shiur. One can go and check that out. But there are various different forms of treatment of different types of skin issues and other areas of refuah when one can use a natural substance, a fruit or a vegetable, for doing that. So the post can bring that is mutter to do. Now, one of the Svarim, contemporary Svarim nowadays, wants to argue that nowadays, when there are so many other alternatives available, where you don't have to use food, you can go and buy a cream from the chemist, which doesn't contain food or anything like that, then he's medayik from one of the poskim that one shouldn't therefore use fruit. But I only saw that in one sefer. Others do not seem to take this on. And they say that, no, that is one of the heterim that one can use food in order for refuah purposes. Now, the heter of refuah, where do you learn this heter of refuah from? So it's a bit, again, a diuk. It's an inference from the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Ches, Omud Beis, says, Shoire Odom Pas B'yayin. A person can take a piece of bread, soak it in wine, umanicha al ayin the refuah, and place it on his eye for refuah. So you see, the Gemara is allowing you to take bread and to take wine, both which are oichlin or mashkin, and soak the bread in the wine and place it on the eye. So you see from there that the halacha is one is allowed to take these foods and use it for an eye refuah, for healing the eye, and that is brought down in the halacha in the poskim. And therefore, one is allowed, based on there, the general heter to use food for refuah purposes. Now, there are other cases that we find in the Gemara, where, for example, in olden days, they didn't have nice tiled floors like we have over here. The floors were often earthen floors with a lot of dust. And the dust would often come up in the air. So you find that they would sometimes sprinkle the ground with, sometimes water it's brought, and sometimes with yayin, wine, in order to settle the dust. Right? I think that's where the expression settling the dust comes from. That to settle the dust, they would use liquids such as wine in order to settle the dust. And it's brought many times, we see that Chazal didn't object to such a thing. So what is the yisoid that we can base on this practice, which seems to be accepted by Chazal? That when you're using food, l'tzoyre ha'odom, for a personal benefit, that would also seem to be allowed as well. In other words, food is not necessarily only for eating purposes, but it can also be for letzorech ha'odom. Now, there is a bit of a machlokes between the Mishneh Berurah and Magen Avraham, perhaps, on this point. And the Mishneh Berurah seems to insist that it has to be derech ha'olam as well. It's not sufficient that it's letzorech ha'odom. I decide that I want to use food for my particular personal, specific circumstances, that's not enough for the Mishneh Berurah. It's got to be additionally derech ha'olam, that olam does do that kind of thing. Now, who is the olam? The general world out there. It's accepted that that is a normal practice of how to use a particular food, then that does seem to be allowed. And we'll see some examples of that very soon. So, for example, the Mishneh Berurah, the Magen Avraham, I'm sorry, mentions things that using wine or other liquids for laundry purposes. Okay, nowadays we can go to the shops and we can buy washing powders and detergents and everything. They didn't have all the availability of those things. So they would use natural substances in order to do laundry. And it's brought over there that one can use different types of liquid, perhaps yayin, in order for doing kavisa for laundry. And the Magen Avraham mentions that as part of his whole discussion, and the Mishneh Berurah quotes the whole discussion of the Magen Avraham and misses that bit out. So why does he miss that bit out? So some want to say, and I saw this in a couple of different Sforim, that the reason is because by the time the Mishneh Berurah wrote what he was writing, which is already 300 years after the Magen Avraham, food had ceased to be used for laundry purposes. They didn't need it. They had other options of what to use for laundry. And therefore the Mishneh Berurah felt that since it's no longer the derech ha'olam to use wine, whatever it is, for laundry purposes, therefore he missed that bit out because the heter requires it to be derech ha'olam in order to be able to use food for this type of purpose. So, again, it would seem to be, one has to look and see, how is food being used in a contemporary situation? Is it used for these type of tzorochim, these type of purposes? Then one would be allowed to use the food for that. Now, there's an interesting point. Children often come home from school, often from kindergarten, And they bring these nice things that they made, arts and crafts, they made it for Yom Tov, for Hasina, all the different, sukkah, different things. And they, for the arts and crafts, so they take things like beans, and they dip them in different types of, I don't exactly even know what substances, varnish and different things to harden the bean, and then they use it for decorative purposes on the arts and crafts that they're making. And there are various different types of glues that they can make with flour and water, not on Pesach, hopefully. The question is, are you allowed to allow children to do this? Because they're taking food, beans, which are otherwise edible, you could put it in the challah for Shabbos, right? Perfectly edible food, and they are using them for arts and crafts. So the question is that allowed? So based on our knowledge so far, what are we going to say? The Tzorech HaAdam, we know there's a heter. Derech HaOlam, is that called Derech HaOlam? I'll leave it for your decision, perhaps, or ask your local Orthodox rabbi what they think, whether that's called Derech HaOlam and Tzorech HaAdam in order to use these items in order to make arts and crafts. It's not so clear. Svarim bring from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he did allow it, yeah, because he felt it's already something which is so common in kindergartens and schools and that kind of thing. It's already Derech HaOlam, it's a Tzorech, and therefore it fits within. I've seen it only as a quote from Shlomo Zalman. I don't know if it's accurate, but it is brought in one or two different Svarim, but I don't know if it's so accurate. Now, a question which arises quite often is the following thing. Okay? Sometimes a person wants to keep a particular chumrah, and as a result of keeping that chumrah, it will result in the wastage of food. So, for example, let's say you buy some food which has a very good hechsher, and the food is from Eretz Yisrael, and you can assume that the hashgacha took trumas and maaseros, etc. from it. Halachically, you're allowed to assume that they took trumas and maaseros. However, there are some people who don't like to rely on that, and they want to take trumas and maaseros as an extra chumrah. It's quite prevalent in Eretz Yisrael. People are machmir on certain products, even though it's got a good hechsher. Now, the result of taking trumas and maaseros lechumra from something that may have had trumas and maaseros taken from it already is that you're taking something that is unnecessary. Are you allowed to do that? Because the result will be that you're taking food and wasting it. The trumas and maaseros today is not given to kohanim and levim. Today it goes to waste. You wrap it up and you let it rot, and it goes, and or you put it in the bin, and that's what happens to it. So it's all very well if I have produce and I know for certain trumas and maaseros have not been taken. So I take trumas and maaseros, I fulfill my chiyuv, I wrap it up and I put it away, fine. But if it's already had trumas and maaseros taken from it, or the halacha allows me to assume that, because it's a good hashgacha, it's a good hechsher, but I want to be machmir for myself and take trumas and maaseros again, am I allowed to do that? Because it's going to result in the wastage of food. So Rav Ozna has a tshuva. Rav Ozna doesn't deal with that specific shaila of trumas and maaseros. He deals with the shaila of somebody who has chometz before Pesach, and he doesn't want to rely on mechiras chometz. Okay? Again, it's one of these things. Mechiras chometz, selling chometz is perfectly acceptable in halacha. It's been accepted for many hundreds of years that one sells one's chometz, and that's perfectly acceptable. But there are various people who are machmir not to sell chometz gomel. Okay, for various different reasons, that's a shir b'fnei atzmoi, whether it really is a proper chumer or not, etc. That's a separate topic. But let's say there are many people who are noyeg like that. So they've got some bread left, quite a lot of bread left before Pesach, and they don't want to sell it, and they haven't got the option, let's say, to give it away to a goy, whatever it is. So the question is, are you allowed to waste that food? Because if I relied on mechiras chometz, which is perfectly acceptable, so I would sell the chometz, let's say it's biscuits or something like that, which I could keep until after Pesach, and I can sell the chometz, and it wouldn't go to waste. On the other hand, if I burn it with my chometz, perhaps I'm destroying it. I'm destroying it for no reason. Then I could rely on the mechiras chometz. So Rav Ozna writes in Shevet HaLevi, Chedek Tes, Simon Kof, Kuf Chof, that one is allowed to do one Srifas chometz, bio chometz on such a thing. It's perfectly okay, even though you're being machmir, not, yeah, it's a chumrah over here for you, because you could have sold it. But when a person wants to keep a chumrah or a minhag, it's not called baal tashkis, it's not called bizoy oichlin, it's not called hefset oichlin. One is allowed to do that. It's not called Baal Tashchis? This was a question which I wondered about for a very long time. I never found anything in any Svarim about this question, and I happened to come across it in Shemit HaLevi recently, that he allows, when one wants to be Mekayim, the Chumrah, and the result of being Mekayim, that Chumrah is a certain amount of waste that is actually allowed. Halacha does permit it. Now, again, the specifics, I don't want anyone to go away and rely on what I'm saying today, halacha l'maaseh. So I want you to always ask a shayla about this, but these, again, are the klolim, the general rules which we are learning. Now, what about feeding food to the birds? Or feeding food to animals? Food which is edible, theoretically it's edible, you could eat this food. It's just, you're not going to, right? Today, Baruch Hashem, because Baruch Hu has given us tremendous shefa. It wasn't so long ago, I'm sure, but there are people here who do remember how when the world was a different place, and it wasn't a world of shefa that we have nowadays. And people didn't even consider the question of leaving food over. Everything was eaten up. Bread was eaten up. If bread was a bit stale, so it was toasted, and it was eaten. Today, things, unfortunately, to a certain degree, fortunately and unfortunately, fortunately because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us shefa, but unfortunately we become a little bit laissez, or a little bit immune to that feeling, and things perhaps go left, and people don't use perhaps what they could. But the question is, halachically, you have some bread, which is left over, which is a little bit stale, are you allowed to go and give it to the birds? Okay? Don't do it in your local park, because they'll get you in trouble for doing that, because it brings rats and things like that. But are you allowed to do that? So the question is, based on what we've learned today, is this called a tzorech? Well, it's not called a tzorech. The halacha we learned before seemed to be machal adam, you can't give to a behema. That seems to be what the Gemara says. There is a dispute in the halacha, it's a sophic, whether we paskin like that halacha or not. It's not clear, it's not very clear in the Gemara there, if we paskin like that. Now the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva. Ksav Sofer in Aruch Chaim Lamed Gimel says that with regard to feeding your own animals, he's dealing with feeding your own animals over there, one is allowed to give them leftover food. And the reason is because otherwise you'd have to give them other food, which would cost you money. And instead of having to pay money on the food that you're to buy food for the animals, you can give them something else instead. So you're saving yourself money. That's called a tzorech. It's a rebach to a person. It's a tzorech to a person. And the Ksav Sofer says it must be that people rely on that, based on what we brought from Rashi earlier on in Tanis. Rashi said, the Torah took pity on our money. Hashem didn't want us to spend more money than we have to. So if you don't have to spend the money because on animal food for your own animals, and you can use other food that otherwise you wouldn't have used, then that would be allowed. The question is, if it's not your own animals, going to the park or giving it to other animals which are not your benefit, is that going to be allowed or not? Again, it's a bit of a tzorech iyun on that. Unless you rely on a heter, the following heter. Now, the following heter I saw again quoted in Svarim from somewhere. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it in the sefer which they actually say they're quoting from. So until I actually find it, I won't tell you which sefer that is. But they quote a heter from one of the chassidish rebbes, who was a poysik in his time. That food which is edible for human beings, but is not going to be eaten by human beings, because human beings just don't eat those things anymore. The waste, for example, when you finish a meal, and you haven't eaten everything because you're too full, and you don't eat everything that's there, and you leave something on the side, so it's perfectly edible, someone could eat it, but no one's going to eat it, because it's not nice to eat from other people's plates. So it's edible, but it's not going to be eaten. So they bring down from this particular source that the one is allowed to throw that away, and one could give that to animals. So again, it's a heter which I haven't validated yet to see whether it actually does say that, but again, I saw that quoted. It's an interesting thing to think about. Now, let's get to our catering situations, okay? So this is not a new issue. I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur about using a bread bowl, for those who weren't here at the beginning of the shiur. It's quite common nowadays, I've seen, that caterers serve soup in a bowl which is made out of bread. They fashioned a bowl in the shape of, made from bread, shape of a bowl, and they put the soup inside.
Who is involved? Is the caterer the baltashlis, or is the bench who doesn't eat the baltashlis?
Okay, let's have a look. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. So, sometimes it's a bowl made out of bread, and sometimes it's a regular bowl of soup, and it's covered with a piece of bread. Now, let's take a different shaila for a minute, and come back to that. So let's go to the world of the Ben Ish Chai, which is a while back already, in a different place, far away. And in the place of the Ben Ish Chai, the caterers started to try and make the simchas quite fancy. And they came up with certain flower arrangements, flower with a W, right? Flower arrangements. And in order to make the flower arrangements look nice, rather than just put it in a vase, that kind of thing, what they would do was, they would do two things. They would make a kind of a dough made out of flour and water, and then it would harden, and then they would place the flowers in there. A bit like nowadays when you get these flowers that come like on shuls, in the shuls, it comes a kind of a, like a foam type of thing. So instead of using that kind of thing, they made it out of flour and water, and they put the flowers in there. That was one thing they did. The second thing they did was to take fruit, make fruit arrangements, and then take the flowers and insert the flowers into the fruit, stick it into the fruit, to make it look nice with a background of fruit and flowers on top, all look very, very nice. Says the Ben Ish Chai, Parshas B'chukosai, Sivkotun Tef Zayin, Upoi Be'ireinu, here in our town, Oisim Lif'amim B'leil Hamila, they would do this on the night before a bris milah. Shulchan, Munach Alav Anofim U'Purachim, a table, placed on the table were branches and flowers, mukovim zeh al zeh, placed one on top of the other, intertwined together, zeh lenoi, mukovim zeh al zeh lenoi, for decorative purposes. The goivren isa shal kemach, they would knead or mix a dough made out of flour, kedei litchoiv besoicha hanofim, in order to stick the flowers inside it, v'gam mevim peirois, or peirois, rimoin, pomegranates, ukoyotza bezeh, and he would stick the flowers in there. Says the Ben Ish Chai, they would become disgusted, they would get ruined when you stick the flowers in the fruit. Nobody's going to eat it, it gets ruined. Says the Ben Ish Chai, we have to object against them. They're not allowed to do this. With any food or fruit, im yiyu miskalkalim v'nosim, if they're going to get ruined as a result. So the Ben Ish Chai writes, and this is again quoted in more recent Sforim, that if the food is going to get ruined as a result, you can't call this really tsoirech ha'odom, or derech ha'odom, perhaps in his time, and we'll get to that in a second. And based on that, one cannot do these decorative things which are going to result in food or fruits being wasted. So, again, the question is, have times changed from there, in the sense that since the halacha allows you to do things l'tzoyrech ha'odom when it is derech ha'olam, so perhaps in the Ben Ish Chai's time, yeah, it wasn't derech ha'olam, so he objected, halachically it wasn't allowed. But if it's become the derech ha'olam to use fruit in this way, perhaps there is a limud z'chutz that one is allowed to do it. However, it would seem to be quite stretching it to allow it. And if a fruit, if large quantities of fruit, and don't forget, if they're doing it at one simcha, they're doing it at another simcha, and Baruch Hashem has lots of simchas. So this is going on the whole time. It's going to result in a lot of wastage of food, which perhaps it's questionable halachically whether this can be done. And the similar shaila is even not so elaborate as sticking flowers into fruit or that kind of thing, but even simply fruit arrangements, which are cut in a certain way, and they have to cut off things in a certain shape because they want to make a piece of melon into the shape of whatever, and they cut off all the bits of the outside, and all that goes to waste because nobody ever eats it. It's a question whether that really is allowed. Again, I'm not paskin the halachas over here. I'm just telling you, it's a shayla in halacha to see whether such an activity is halachically allowed or not. So that is the question over there. So going back to our question with the bread, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, Odom Tsrochov Bapas. A person is allowed to use bread for his own needs. Bahani mini deloy mimis bay, as long as it doesn't get ruined. So for example, if I'm making kiddush on Friday night and my challahs are in front of me, and I want to place my bencher, which has got the kiddush in front of it, on top of the challahs, so that I can raise it up and it's nearer for me to read, I'm allowed to do that. That's called oisa odom tzorochov imapas. I'm doing my tzorochim, my personal need, with the bread. The siddur or the bench is leaning on the bread, and the bread's not getting it ruined as a result, so that's allowed. But something that's going to cause the bread to become ruined, one is not allowed to do. So the Shulchan Aruch brings, based on the Gemara, various different examples of things that you can't do because the bread will get ruined, including cutting a fruit on top of the bread because the fruit might leak over the bread and ruin the bread. So various halachas like that, ayin shom, that halacha. But in Sif Gimel over there it says, Mutter le'achol daisa bapas. One is allowed to eat cereal with bread. In other words, to use the bread as a kind of a spoon, right? To eat the cereal with, if you didn't have a spoon. V'hu she'yachal hapas achar kach. As long as you eat the bread afterwards. If you're just going to use the piece of bread as a spoon to eat the cereal, but then you're going to take that piece of bread and throw it away. No, that's not allowed. But if you're going to eat the bread, then it's allowed. V'ha medaktikim. Those people who are medaktik, the medaktik, what they do is, every time they eat a bit of the cereal with the bread, they then eat a bit of the bread at the same time to show that they're not really using the bread as a spoon, but really that they're using the bread to eat as well. And then, whatever is left over, says the Ramah, whatever is left over from the bread afterwards, they eat, right? You've eaten bits and pieces of the bread together with the cereal. Whatever's left over from the bread, you eat. So it seems to be according to Shulchan Aruch. If you're going to eat the bread, then it's allowed. So going back to our case, the lid that's covering the soup, you'll be allowed to do that if people are going to eat the bread. The bowl itself, if you're going to eat that bowl, then fine. If you're not going to, and you're going to be left with a big, soggy mess of wet bread afterwards, it's not so clear at all that it really is allowed. So one has to keep an eye into this. Okay, it's food for thought. Okay?
We're not further than we started.